we're in John 15. So as you turn there in your Bibles, I'm going to set the stage. If you're on a tablet or a phone, we're going to be reading in the ESV, so you can just change to that translation if you're already on a different one. But to set the stage, this is a moment in John's gospel where Jesus has told his disciples that he's going to the cross, where it's the night before the crucifixion, it's the Last Supper, and so Jesus is having this dinner, this final supper, as it were, with his disciples, the 12 men who have been following him around and learning from him. And between John 14 and John 17, this multiple chapters, Jesus is pouring out this teaching for them, incredible teachings that he's giving them. There's also a prayer in John 17 that is absolutely incredible. And he's told his disciples and is continuing throughout this teaching to tell his disciples, I'm leaving, I'm going to be crucified. And so the disciples are dealing with all of just like this kind of like questions and probably some sadness about what Jesus is telling them. Like, hold up, like, thought you were going to be the king. But what Jesus in the moment is doing is also encouraging them. Like, in the midst of all of this teaching, as much as he's telling them, like, do these things and have hope, he's also giving them an encouragement that things aren't as bad as what they may be thinking right in that moment. And John 15 is right in the midst of all of what he's actually saying. And so as we pick up, we'll see what Jesus is actually telling his disciples. And so we'll be reading starting in verse 1 and going through 11. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you that as we come this morning, that we are invited to abide in you. And that as we abide in you, that as we abide in God, we bear godly fruit. We thank you for that opportunity this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to be encouraged by this, even as the disciples were years ago, Lord, that we can be encouraged in this moment by this word in our current context. Lord, we pray that we would be filled with that joy that you promised us, filled with your joy, Jesus, as we dive into your word and study what it is you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, in this passage, is trying to get across the point of what it really means to abide in him. Abide is a word that comes up multiple times. I think it's probably about 9 times in this short passage. So 11 verses, 9 times. And it's an interesting word because abide isn't a word that we use a whole lot in our daily conversation. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a walking dictionary and you love to throw out words like abide. But most of us in here, the normal ones, don't actually use the word abide very much. And it's probably a concept that the disciples weren't super familiar with either, because Jesus actually paints an image for them. Historically, I've thought of the word abide in relation to a word that we use for house, which is abode. And that kind of gives us a strict definition of what abide means. It simply means to stay somewhere or to live in a place. It's a pretty simple way of understanding it. But thankfully, as we There's a broader kind of meaning that Jesus has for the word abide, or more specific rather than broader, a more specific meaning that Jesus has for abide that he's trying to get across to his disciples. And thankfully, Jesus is like the Bob Ross of storytelling. And so maybe you don't think that Bob Ross is a great painter, but those happy trees are lit. So, like, it's, like, I'm a huge Bob Ross fan. I remember growing up and just watching him, and as he was kind of combining these colors and just doing these kind of, like, it looks like just dots on a page and everything, or on a canvas at first, and then eventually you start to see this picture forming, and at the end of it, you have these happy trees and this beautiful scenery, and it's an incredible painting. Well, Jesus is kind of like the Bob Ross of storytelling. When he approaches these stories, he has these really complex ideas that he's getting at, but the way the images that he uses are incredibly simple. And so he lays out these stories throughout the Gospels that we read about and just explains these amazing concepts in a really simple way. And that's helpful that these ideas are simple because, if you're like me and you don't necessarily understand, like maybe you have no understanding of gardening or farming. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. I'm in no sense of the word a green thumb. And so Jesus is using this illustration that deals with vine and branches and fruit. And if you're like me, you're the closest you've ever come to farming or gardening is playing Farmville for like multiple years and organizing like your when you were planting your produce so that like you could get out of class and then run to the library in order to hop on Facebook and make sure you got all the money for your pumpkins or whatever. But pumpkins don't grow in 8 hours, and Jesus is not using a super complex illustration. And so those of us who don't have any understanding of how gardening or farming works can understand this illustration that he's laying out. And so he's talking about, as he's using this illustration, he's saying that branches have to stay connected to the vine in order to produce the grapes that we use to make wine. He doesn't use the word wine, but the disciples would have connected that there's this, that the benefit of this fruit is this wine that we're producing in our country. It was a major kind of product that they had at the time because sometimes they used it for celebration. Other times it was just in place of the water, which didn't have great filtration. They didn't have Brita filters. So they were using wine instead. And a lot of them were familiar with how this product or this worked. And as Jesus lays this out, he talks about how if branches are connected to the vine, then they're being nourished. But if they don't, if they aren't connected to the vine, if they're separated, then they don't produce fruit. They just die off. And then they just are good for nothing other than taking up space. So they're thrown into a fire. And as Jesus is explaining this, the point that he's really getting at is that when we abide with God, we produce godly fruit. If we'll stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus, then we'll produce godly fruit. Now we know, because of kind of that explanation of what Jesus gives and kind of the simplicity of this image, that we know what abide means. And that Jesus tells us we need to do it, but there's a problem that arises, and that's that we don't know how to abide in Christ. And we'll get to that, so stick with me, but maybe some of you aren't convinced yet that you do need to abide. It's like, okay, well, I know what abide means. Apparently there's some benefit, and I'm going to learn how to do that, but why should I do it? And really, the fact that the God of the universe is telling you to do something, that he's the one who created you, the one that allows you to breathe, the one who kind of makes sure that everything continues to operate as it's supposed to operate, that seems like a pretty good reason to me. But joking aside, I get the kind of that question. I understand it. Because Jesus tells us if you do, or as we read through the word, he says, do X, Y, and Z. And we can come and say, well, God, like, that's not necessarily comfortable, or I enjoy doing this thing, so why do I have to give it up? But the good news this morning is that what God has for you, even as we have these things that we find comfort in, what God has for us when he's telling us to give those things up or telling us to do something, is so much better than those other things that we can grasp onto that life has for us. And when we abide in God, we produce godly fruit, and that fruit is an incredible, incredible gift from God. diving into this passage, first off, we need to recognize that we all abide somewhere. It's not kind of this either we abide in God or we don't abide at all. No, all of us abide in something. And we recognize the reason we do that is because we recognize that there's a void inside of us. We all connect ourselves to some source of energy or life because it's an area that we're lacking. Now, not all of these things are inherently bad. Like pre-quarantine, it could have been relationships with friends or with family members. It could be your job or social media, some binge-worthy show or streaming service, or retreating into your own thoughts. We connect ourselves to these things in our lives and abide in them because we think it's going to fill that void in our lives. We have this impression that that's what it's going to do because they tell us that they will. And in the year of 2020, in our current context, a lot of these things can be really easy to turn to right now. Obviously, 2020 has not been the most exciting of years in the past, and there doesn't look like there's a silver lining very close in the future. And even in the present, we're dealing with a lot of issues this past week, just the tragedies that occurred. And even as a huge Marvel fan, like Chadwick Boseman passing away from cancer just a couple days ago was a major hit. I mean, I don't know where you are. Maybe you have no connection to Marvel, but that still, like, that doesn't feel good. And so 2020 isn't the most exciting of years, and it's not one that we're probably going to look back on based on circumstances and say, well, that was a great year. But we can, if we abide in Christ, experience a joy and a peace that far surpasses anything that we've ever experienced before. But life, because of these situations, isn't currently exciting. And so we tend to, we're starving for peace or for joy or comfort. And it becomes really easy to say, well, I can't deal with these situations, so I'm going to just disconnect. For some of you, that means it's time to watch The Bachelor, the greatest seasons ever. And like, you're really excited. And it's like, okay, I want to see who gets that rose. And Lydia's really mad at me. I'm not just picking on the women. I understand that's near and dear to some of your hearts. I've had the conversations with many of you. My wife has joined and has hosted those. And I've, before quarantine even happened, I quarantined myself in the room to keep myself away from all the drama that was going on in the other room. But so for women, maybe it's The Bachelor. Maybe if you're a guy, though, like maybe it's sports. I mean, baseball's going on, basketball's going on, maybe football's going to happen. American football, at least. I think soccer's going on right now. There's no crowd, so it's really weird, and you don't get the chance. But maybe it's sports. Maybe you're going to just some show on television, and we feel like watching that show or watching whatever it is going to allow us to disconnect from our current set of circumstances, and that through, as we disconnect, that we're going to be able to experience joy. That as I watch the show, I don't have to deal with everything that's going on, so I can just enjoy the moment and laugh and have fun and experience what joy is supposed to be. Like I said, maybe it's your job that you're abiding in. You dive into your work as much as you can because even though society is crumbling and things are getting turned upside down and being shaken, you think that going into your job, you're going to find security, that this is a place where you can feel more in control over your life. Perhaps you don't try to escape the current set of circumstances, and instead you internalize, you take all of this in and you just bring it inside and you brood, and everything happening, you just keep it all inside. You deal with that inside your head, but it's a place where, once again, you can kind of feel control. And if I keep it inside, I can deal with it there, but I can't deal with everything that's going on outside. This list of things isn't exhaustive. You may be abiding in something else altogether, but the important thing is that we recognize that we do abide somewhere in our lives. We connect ourselves to something, relying on those things for what only Jesus will provide. Only He is able to provide the joy and the peace and the comfort and the control that we desire in our lives. Jesus will be the one in control. And He says, stay attached with me. Let me be in every facet of your life, when you wake up, when you go to sleep, as you're going about your day in the classroom, while you're playing with your kids, as you're talking to your friends, abide in me in those moments, and I in you. And the question that comes up still is, well, how do we do that? Like, okay, like I see that I'm abiding in something. I see that Jesus is calling me to abide in him, and so I want to do that, but what steps do I take in order to accomplish that? Jesus answers that question in verses 9 and 10, and he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience is key. Jesus is laying it out like, obey what I've told you and you'll abide in me. We can't expect to abide in Christ if he's not really the one calling the shots in our life. And even dealing with that image, the branches don't determine where the vine goes. The vine determines where the branches go. If the vine goes left, the branches are going to sprout from the vine that is going left, and so they go left as well. We have to be fully submitted to Christ and obedient to what he calls us to do. And some of the things that he calls us to do is what we know as spiritual disciplines. It's things in our lives, that disciplines that we should do daily in order to grow spiritually, in order to stay connected to Christ. And two of those spiritual disciplines that are incredibly important are reading the Bible and prayer. Those are the primary spiritual disciplines in our lives. And reading the Bible is how we hear from God. So if in order to stay connected to God, we need to be in relationship with him. We need to be communicating with him. And so as we read the word, it's God speaking to us. And as we pray, it's us responding and speaking to God. And so there's this back and forth communication that occurs as we read the word. And that's a form of us abiding in Christ. As we continue to do these spiritual disciplines, we'll grow in our relationship with him and stay connected to him and think on these things. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on this book of the law, the word of God, day and night, being careful to do everything written in it. And so as we go throughout our day, as we go into get ready to go to sleep at night, as we wake up in the mornings, our minds should be set on Christ. Maybe you wouldn't call yourself a believer, and this idea of that Jesus wants a relationship with you, or that he wants you to be connected to him, to abide in him, is a completely foreign concept. You've never heard of a God who actually wants a relationship. This opportunity to abide in Christ, to abide in God, is open for you today as well. It's not simply for Christians that he's saying, abide in me. He's saying, no, like, I want all people to come and abide in me, to put their trust in me, to stay connected to me, and to find the joy and the hope that I can give them. So if you have any questions about that, Pastor Justin and I will be up here at the end of the service. We would love to talk to you, to answer any questions you may have about that. So we know what abide means. We know that we abide in something, and we know how to abide now. But what is the benefit of abiding in Christ? And it goes back to that kind of point that Jesus, that follows through this entire image that Jesus gives, that when we abide with God, we produce godly fruit. Thinking through all these things that we attach ourselves to, we do that in order to provide some, or we attach ourselves to things that provide some sort of comfort or escape. All these things, the list earlier, they give us false promises that they don't deliver on. The things that we abide in produce fruit in our lives, and it's different fruit based on what we abide in. So social media, for instance, promises you won't feel lonely, that you'll feel loved, or you can control the way others perceived you. But instead of that, after spending 30 minutes on some website or app just scrolling, you end up angry and anxious and upset about something that you read. I deal with this myself. I am a YouTube comment junkie. And so I'll spend 30 minutes to an hour sometimes on just like a single video's comment threads. I stopped watching the videos 5 minutes ago and just got invested in the comments and start reading through. And That black hole of going down into that YouTube comment thread never ends well. I always end up just angry or sometimes thinking wrongly about a specific group of people because now they all kind of fit under this umbrella and this certain kind of way. Like I have an image in my mind now and I'm not thinking positively about a whole group of people because of something that I read. And so it produces this fruit in us that's not positive. And the things that we're looking for in social media, only Jesus can provide. Only he can provide that love that you're looking for. Only he can remove that loneliness. You can be surrounded by friends and be the center of attention, yet feel like the loneliest person in the world in that moment. Only Jesus can take that loneliness away. And he can remove the insecurity that drives us to control how others perceive us. It comes out of an insecurity about who we are, and yet we can find our identity in Christ if we turn to him and abide in him. Netflix, on the other hand, or streaming services, have this promise that you'll be able to rest and get energy as you binge a show, that it'll leave you feeling full of life and joy, but on the other side of a 4 to 5 hour binge of a TV show, just end up feeling drained or like you wasted your day. Instead of life and joy, you're feeling empty and frustrated that you didn't do anything else with that time. Jesus can give you a joy that never fades and can give you abundant life. So check out verse 4. Going back to this passage, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Jesus refers to this idea of bearing fruit as a benefit of abiding in him. Normally, I would think, well, okay, Jesus says abide in me. That seems pretty cool, like that I can abide in the King of the universe. But Jesus is saying, yes, that's good, but there's also this benefit of bearing fruit. He says, abide in me and you'll get this fruit. And the thing that brings us joy and fulfillment, according to Jesus, is bearing fruit as we're connected to him. The question that comes up is, well, what is that fruit? Jesus seems to think that it's a great thing. So what is that fruit? What can I expect as I abide in Christ? The passage seems to suggest, in Scripture as a whole, that it's two things. The first, throughout Scripture, we see this idea that a fruit being referred to as making disciples or as being disciples. The Bible over and over again refers to that idea of making disciples as bearing fruit. And when we share the gospel and see people come to Christ or teach people about the Bible and see them growing and overcoming sin or just being more devoted in their walk with Christ, that's fruit. So as we abide in Christ, we help build his kingdom and bring glory to his name, which is amazing that we can be co-laborers with Christ, that as we go about the world, as we go into Providence, the neighborhoods that we live in, that we can be a part of expanding God's kingdom and bringing glory to his name and honoring him. That's an amazing gift. And there's another type of fruit that this passage points to. We don't really know for sure what it is until verse 11 when Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." The other type of fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. And those are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and goodness and self-control. Joy and peace in our current situation sound really good, don't they? It's like that's something that we're largely lacking in this moment. And things don't seem like they're getting any better situationally, but we can experience joy and peace despite our current circumstances. Because the fruit that comes from abiding in Jesus is joy. And he says, taste. In another passage, we're told, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's an incredible opportunity as we come to Christ, as we stay connected with him, that we're going to experience that joy and that peace. Two of the three of the first fruits of the Spirit, joy and peace, those are opportunities that we can come and experience and can experience all the other seven that are there as well. Love and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and even self-control, which This is something that I think we lack a lot of the time. But the benefit of abiding in Jesus is that we can experience those things. And as we stay connected with Christ, we experience the idea or the fact that there's a future where we're going to be able to come before him. And as we think on that moment, we're one day going to approach Jesus, and he's going to say, well, what did you do with all these things that I gave you, that I handed to you? And if we're useless, he's going to ask, well, I gave you so much. Why did you just leave it? But if we're faithful, if we bear the fruit that he's talking about here, if we abide in Christ, then we get to come before Jesus and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's an incredible thing to set our minds on, because as we're going about our lives, if we can focus on that future opportunity of hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant, as we come into the presence of the King and experience his glory and his radiance and his beauty and his majesty in that moment in the heavenly kingdom, as we come into that moment and seeing our Father say, well done, my good and faithful servant, that drives us to bear fruit. That should motivate us to, that's what I want to hear. When I get to the end of the line, when I finally come before God and see him face to face, I want to be able to hear him proud of how I've walked this life out, of the fact that I abided in him. Jesus always delivers on what he promises. All these promises of the other things that the world gives us are empty. They end up not coming through, but Jesus is always faithful to provide those things. As we abide in him, we bear these fruits in our lives and get to enjoy them. And all these things come from abiding in Christ, staying connected to him, the true vine, and fully relying on him for all our comfort, fulfillment, needs, and desires. When we abide with God, we produce godly fruit. And so even as we think on this teaching, the fact that it was a teaching that was attached to the Last Supper is kind of fitting for this morning as we move into this moment of communion. The disciples had it very clearly in their mind that Jesus was saying, my body is going to be broken. So as you take of this bread, remember that. As you drink of this cup, it's representative of my blood that's going to be shed for you. And as we come in this moment to taking communion, it's an opportunity for us to, as we do that, to remember the fact that the reason that we get to abide in Christ is because of the fact that he died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to, and then rose again from the dead so that we can abide in him, we can abide in God, he can abide in us, we can experience that because of this gift. And so as we think on that, get ready to take communion, let's pray and thank him for this opportunity. Father, we thank you for this moment this morning that we get to come and remember your blood that was shed and your body that was broken on our behalf so that we could abide in you. And pray that, Lord, that we would come with hearts that are grateful and full of thanksgiving in this moment. Thank you for the gift of the cross, your death on the cross as a sacrifice in our place. And I pray that, Lord, we would abide rightly in you, that we would continue to seek you, to abide in you, and to feel that joy and the peace and the fruit, and to bear the fruit of making disciples as we go out into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.